So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents and staff writer for Last Week's Night with John Oliver, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. Jesus Christ. Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie, writer for American Dad. I'm just doing some research here on some MP3 players I could be using at the gym or when I'm running.
Okay. Is now not a good time to do the podcast?
I mean, if possible.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. HelloTushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile with skincare and hair care made just for you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at Hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Thanks to Headspace for supporting Quick Question. Just 30 days of Headspace lowers stress by 32%, and just 4 sessions can reduce burnout by 14%. Headspace is here to help. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/quickquestion. This sounds pretty urgent.
Well, I'm finding out there's a bunch of new technology I didn't even anticipate, so now I got to like research, which I didn't. I thought Apple would certainly have like some little nickel-sized thing I could just put in my pocket, but there's all kinds of stuff now. What do you run with?
I use my phone, my iPhone.
You?
And I listen to music when I run. I have, I keep cycling through different playlists of running music. And the latest one is all about trying to make me faster.
You listen through your phone. So your phone is on you when you're running, or are you on a treadmill?
It's in my hand. My phone is in my hand.
You're running with a phone in your hand? How far are you going?
These days, about 5 miles.
You're running 5 miles with a suitcase?
No.
Wait, you have a phone in your hand while you're running?
Because I don't. Because if I put it in my pocket, it's bouncy, and I don't like that feeling. I don't like to have anything in my pockets. And I know that they have those. What do you call it? Like a thing where you put it on your arm?
Yes.
So you could put your phone in like an armband thing. I don't like that because I like to replay the same song over and over again often. And I also use, I track my runs on an app that tells me how
you're
far.
You're using your phone while you're running.
Yeah.
It's in your hand, and then at a certain point, like you get to the end of your song and you just pick it up.
I interact with it. Yeah. Sometimes, because you know how Siri can read your text messages to you? Sometimes that happens too, and I'm just going to be running, and it'll be like, Mom says, have a good day, or whatever.
Let me just say, Dan, I ordinarily wear a wedding ring. I can't even run with a wedding ring on, because I don't like the imbalance of it.
Really?
You run with a phone, a whole phone in your hand, that you're also occasionally like texting people on, and being like, I don't like this playlist. Let's go see what else Spotify has cracked
or
has up for me. Oh my God. Okay. And that's got to get awful, right? The phone's got to get sweaty, first of all.
The phone gets really sweaty. And sometimes if a phone is wet, you can't interact with it.
for
a while.
I don't expect, and this is not like a slight against you, I don't expect it's recognizing your face after about 3 miles.
No, but I don't need it to do that.
Are you using a manual password to get into your phone while you're running?
Soren, of course I am. I look at my phone. I try to figure out how far I've gone. I enter my password. I open the app that tracks my steps.
All right.
And it's like, oh, great. 3 miles. I could turn
around.
I'm
canceling your birthday present. The birthday present that's been in the works for 6 years, I think. I'm canceling it.
You can't.
And I'm getting you the same thing I'm getting. And it just hooks up right to your wireless earbuds, whatever you got.
Uh-huh.
Your Raycons, I assume.
Sure.
we'll see who the advertisers are for this episode. Oh my God, that's a lunatic thing. Do you ever see anybody else out on the road?
Wait, no. The thing you're talking about that syncs up to my beloved fucking Ray J headphones.
Yeah.
What, you don't have to hold it? Where does the
okay.
The thing,
the one
live?
I'm looking at is, it's about the size of like a silver dollar. It's square, but okay. Like imagine that size. It's very thin and it has a little clip on it, and you wear it on your shorts, wherever you like. I mean, it can also just go in a pocket very easily because it's very small. All it has on it, I guess you want it outside because you're going to be able to push pause. You're going to skip songs really easily on it. And it just hooks up directly to your Spotify. And there's no wires or anything like that. It just goes straight to your earbuds. And there's like 60 different products like this.
And I guess you just like, now I have to what? Now I have to load my songs onto this stupid box through some kind of third party?
Yeah, you have to put an app on your phone, I think, to do it.
Nah, no thank you.
Wait, all right. When you're out running, just picture it, and you're running past a lot of people. I know that you're smoking people left and right. Do you notice phones in any of their hands?
I'm not really looking, man.
Because that's a special humiliation, I think, if I started getting burned by a guy who's carrying a phone as he's running and occasionally just like looking at it and smiling because his mom said, had a good day. Have a good day.
Yeah.
I think that would really piss me off.
Okay, well, be pissed off then.
You're really getting in my head on this. I can't believe that you run with a phone in your hand.
Yeah, I have for years. It's and I think if I ever stop doing that, the replacement will be running with nothing and just running in silence. I'm much more likely to do that than I am to be away from the phone on a run.
But that means also occasionally like work comes in and you got to stop and look at it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just ruining your workout. Oh, I don't want to tell you what to do, Dan. But seriously, get this thing and get a credit card. All right, well, I guess we should start the show.
Yeah, do we have any COVID updates? I guess, I have like bummer COVID updates. Ooh. That I know like four people who got breakthrough cases. Ooh. Vaccinated people who got Delta variant.
Are they okay?
They're okay, yeah. Just like... It sure seems like New York thinks COVID's over, and it sure definitely isn't.
Yeah, everybody's really good here. Everybody has slid right back into, look, we wear masks, we wear them everywhere. Like when I take my son to school, we're outside, but there's so many kids and adults around each other that everybody's wearing a mask. When I go to the grocery store, everybody's wearing one. Some people, if you're just walking around on the street, like when I go on a run, I'd say probably 50% of people are wearing them outdoors even. And people are good here.
That's good. I feel like at some point the narrative shifted to COVID's over. We beat it. We got vaccines. Yeah. And the cases have not agreed with that narrative.
No. The way that I've been more reckless. I mean, I went on trips. I went to weddings.
Yeah.
And I'm not vaccinated. I mean, I'm not vaccinated. I'm vaccinated, but I live with these two assholes, Ronan and Gilly, who are not vaccinated.
Who just refuse. Yeah,
they won't do it. And I rarely even think about that. I'm just sort of like, no, we're back in the world now. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's really not fun.
I'm starting to wonder how back in the world I'm supposed to be. Like, I had a planned trip to Costa Rica, and I canceled that.
Yeah.
Because travel advisories were saying, don't go unless you have to go to Costa Rica. And I was like, man, I definitely don't.
Yeah.
But like, at a certain point, I feel like I need to treat everything as like sensible risks, I guess, because I don't know, I'm vaccinated and I'm healthy and I wear a mask all the time. And if I'm waiting for a travel website to say it's 100% safe to fly to Costa Rica, I don't think that day is ever going to come, or at least it's not going to come anytime soon. I think I need to start we have to start acting like the world is back.
You're also,
otherwise it won't be back.
You're in the kind of position where you live alone. You don't have anybody else around you who's not vaccinated. You're not like a teacher. You're not in danger of spreading it to a lot of people because you're working from home. I think,
man, I really thought this was going to be like 8 synonyms for lonely in a row. Like, you live alone. You're not around anybody.
Your workouts are in an apartment you break into that where no one lives. You're not a spreader by any means. And so I think that you're fine to go live your life. And you're vaccinated. If you do get a breakthrough case, I don't imagine that's going to put you in a hospital. I think you're fine to go do things that you want to do.
Yeah, good.
I think you do need to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah?
Like, did you even think about it? When you looked at the travel website, did you go, do I need to go to Costa Rica? Maybe I do.
Yeah. Because they don't make you fill out a quiz that, like, proving why I need to go there. But I feel like I could, if not a quiz, write a pretty convincing essay.
Yeah.
I did do a little traveling. I went backpacking 2 weeks
ago. Where'd
you go? We went to New Hampshire, the White Mountains.
I've never been to New Hampshire. Is it cool up there?
It is really cool. Extreme Colorado vibes. Okay. I certainly because we were in like in the White Mountains, but even the town outside of us, we stayed in Lincoln the night before the trip, and it just, you could tell you're here for hiking and you're here for in the winter skiing.
Yeah.
And that was like just this big hiking active ski town, and I love it.
This is gonna be a hard question to answer. Is it arid or does it seem very lush and wet?
It seems pretty lush and wet. Okay. And like that's one of the things that made our hike a little scary, at least going into it, is that it's in a particular area. I don't know the exact science behind it, but it's a particular area where the weather can change very quickly, very dramatically. And we're up on top of these mounts on Franconia Ridge, this incredibly, you can see it if you Google Franconia Ridge. It's just very exposed. You're walking on the ridge on a bunch of mountains, and you don't want a sudden thunderstorm to hit when you're up there. But we really lucked out with the weather.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's just sort of like mountainous areas in general are, it's the clouds just move faster there. Like storms come in so quick. Yeah. Oh, this is beautiful. It's very green up there.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Okay, not a lot of scree. Different type of rock than I'm used to. This looks great. It's very easy to hike on.
It was tough. Like we did 32 miles in 2 days.
Whoa.
That's 9 summits that we're doing. Not these Colorado peaks, but like you're still going up and down 4,000 feet a couple of times a day.
32 miles in how many days?
2.
That is so much, Dan. I think people maybe don't have a good sense of what a mile is when you're hiking compared to when you're running, like just out or like going from, basically when you're running or walking on a street, you have the luxury of going straight. And that's never the case when you're hiking. I would say that generally, like outdoor hike, canyon hiking, you go about a mile an hour if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And then outside of a canyon, like if you're just out on trails and stuff, it's probably barely faster than that. So maybe like 45 minutes or 50 minutes for a mile. So
we had a couple of 45, 50 minute miles and a couple of hour miles because you're going up and it's slow going often. And even when you're going down, a lot of that is steep and you're scrambling down. And it's also not like, I don't know how normal people walk when you're walking down the street, but you can be a little more careless with it because you trust what the ground is going to be. But in these hikes, it's all ankle breakers. You're walking on big, painful rocks. So you're like, you have to pay attention so you don't fall and hurt yourself. It's weird to follow up with, it's pleasant. I enjoy doing this. But the thing that you wanted to give me kudos for doing it in 2 days, we originally were going to do it in 3, but we after the first day, we were like, I think we can do it in 2, so let's do it in 2.
Even 3 days sounds, that's like over 10 miles a day.
Soren, there are people who do it in 1 day.
Yeah, but those people are...
We saw these people on the trail who were like, I'm on hour 12. I started at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm a little tired now. But, you know, they have an easier time like traveling than my brother and I did because they're not carrying 35 pounds of camping.
Yeah, they're jogging with right their phone in their hand.
Yeah, like normal people do. But it's still, it's it's got to be one of those things that is just bragging rights, or just like, yeah, I
yes,
this was my workout for the week, was doing 32 miles in a day, because the first half of that, almost guaranteed, you're spending it in darkness. You got a headlamp on and you're hiking at 4 or 5 in the morning. And then maybe darkness at the end of it too, depending on how slow you are and what time of year
it is. Did you guys get sore?
Not as much as we thought. It's crazy that like because we didn't go home after the hike. We got the best food, the best meal I've ever had in my entire life. And then we stayed in a hotel again, and like middle of the night, my knees were killing me. But I was surprisingly fine the next day. The only thing is I still have, I just need better hiking shoes. I still have tons of blisters, and I think I'm going to lose a toenail.
Okay. Yeah. That comes with the territory, I guess. I'm glad to hear that you guys, though, then went to Red Robin. That's wonderful. It's so exciting for me.
Is your butt clean enough to sit on the couch naked? You know, the dream? No? Get a Tushy, the modern bidet that attaches directly to your toilet in under 10 minutes. Imagine the weird stuff you could do with a Tushy behind you. Tushy, the modern bidet company, washes away even the messiest of poops, leaving you with a better clean than toilet paper. If you got poop on any other part of your body, would you just wipe it off? No, right? No, you'd wash it. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy, the modern bidet that attaches directly to your toilet. We loved partnering with Tushy, and we have a deal. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. Tushy is the modern bidet for people who poop. Just poop, wash, and pat dry. The Tushy bidet washes your bum with water for a better clean than toilet paper. Washing with water is less irritating and more soothing for your beehole. It's easy to install. Attached to the toilet in under 10 minutes. No electricity or plumbing needed. Using a Tushy bidet reduces your toilet paper use by 80%, saving you money. Eco-friendly. Stylish. Tushy has a full product line to make the restroom the best room, including Tushy Ottoman, the sleekest toilet stool designed to help you poop at 100%, 100% of the time, rated number one by Wirecutter. They've also got the new Tushy Brush, the only toilet brush with disposable scrubbing pads, so you can use a clean brush every time, and more. I love my Hello Tushy. It's not just for me. I've also got like 3 or 4 family members turned on to getting these things. They're super easy to install, and they're affordable, and they're eco-friendly, and they do the job that they're supposed to do. Start washing with a Tushy bidet for a better clean. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off plus free shipping. Oh, I have a quick question that's related to
this.
Assuming we are fine starting the show now.
I think that's fine.
Have you've done a bunch of hiking. Have you ever had a trail name?
Wait, like a name I go by, like I'm at Burning Man? Like there's a name that I go by out
yeah.
there?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before.
That sounds silly.
We met hikers and I was like, hey, I'm Daniel. It's normal. What's your name? And she's like, Footloose. My trail name is Footloose.
What?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
And did you both laugh?
No. I don't know if it's a specific. So she was a section hiker doing the Appalachian Trail, and sort of our trail becomes AT for a little while. And I think it's a very Appalachian Trail specific thing where you don't give yourself a name, but someone grants you one that is either an inside joke or something specific to the time you're having on the trail.
Okay. I guess that makes more sense. Like people that do the PCT or like something that goes from Mexico to Canada. You're doing that for so long, you're like, well, I exist outside of my normal life here. I am Woodfire.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, that's silly, but cool. Good for her. Did she scoff when you said Daniel, or was she like, yeah, that's fine. You just don't get it.
No, she was fine with my normal human government name. I could see it being, because I like community and clubs so much, I could see it being a cool thing to connect you to a larger community if it's all contained specifically within like the Appalachian Trail. You know, you can, because then you're meeting a stranger and you're saying, hello, I'm Footloose, and they're like, hello, Footloose, I'm Destiny.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, yeah, we're both in on this inside joke, this shared private club thing. I like that kind of shit. I think that's cool.
Yeah. I think that's what you do at Burning Man. I think that people choose different names while they're there.
Man, that sounds stupid. Yeah.
Well, can I make a guess at what your name would be? And I think I guarantee you've already thought about this, right?
Yeah. Okay.
My first guess is Big Dragon.
Big Dragon. I think. Well, that guarantees that I picked my own name, which I don't think you're allowed to do.
Okay. Oh boy.
But unless you're just giving that to me now, that's your gift to me.
If you were going to pick a name for yourself, I knew immediately it would be Big Dragon.
100% Big Dragon. No questions.
Let's see. What if you put something trail oriented? This is the problem because you're going to come up with something really great. I'm having to do this on the fly. Rockhopper.
Yeah. Rockhopper. That's pretty tight. Yeah.
It's not that.
No. I mean, I don't know if we're going to solve this today here. Okay. Here.
All right.
You and I.
All right. Forget it. Yeah. So I've done a lot of hiking. But I've never heard of a trail name in my life. To be fair though, I've never done the longest I've been out there is 15 days. I've never done a trip that's
Jesus.
That's like you're out there for a month and a half, going through different states or anything like that.
15 days is so long.
Yeah. So the way that trip works is that for part of it, you're working on a Forest Service project, and then you're going off and doing a lot of other hiking and camping that's like not on trails. You're up above you're kind of like in Scree mostly, so mm-hmm. Occasionally there's a cairn somewhere. You know what a cairn is?
Yeah.
Occasionally there's a cairn somewhere and you can kind of get like, oh, this is the way to the saddle between these two, this is the way to the pass between these two peaks, or like that kind of thing. But generally you're just using a map. Oh, by the way, I had somebody who on Twitter, after I had talked to you about topographic maps, who was like, Soren, it's topographic, not topographic, because I was pronouncing it topographic, and I was so mad. I was immediately mad because I was like, who fucking cares? They're right, obviously. But I don't know why I pronounce it topo. I guess because
you talked about maps on this show.
Yeah, we did. I asked you if you could read a topographic map, and I was telling you how my son knows how to read them. You said you could.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, great job, Dan.
It's legitimately insane to me how little memory I have of this show.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like knock the show or anything. It's in a pretty troubling way. It's like entering a fugue state because I can't see you. I'm famously alone and just like staring at a microphone, wearing headphones, being like, oh, I haven't heard. Soren's going to stop talking soon. I'd better fill that time with, yeah, with whatever's going to come out of here. And then I just start going. And then eventually we say goodbye to each other.
Yep.
and then it's dark out.
Yeah, people will occasionally ask us questions or on Twitter, or they'll like message you and say something about, they'll reference the podcast in a way. First of all, they do it with episodes that are like six past. Like they're those ones that we did months ago. But even when it's like the same week that we recorded it, I'm still like, I need more context. I have no idea what you're talking about. Why are you telling me about chocolate chip cookies? Do we talk about that on the show? And
why is everyone sending me this fucking cake monster?
Yeah. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. Listen, you could go to a drugstore and you could guess at some different products that might be good for you, or you can upgrade to the products that help you, like your body wash, shampoo, deodorant, face cleanser, moisturizer, and cologne that are specific to you, because Hawthorne knows. Hawthorne can figure it out for you. All you got to do is just take a short study-back quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit. You get free shipping on your Hawthorne order, too. And if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, you smell it, you're like, nah, not really my scent. They'll give you free shipping on the return as well. I took their quiz. It's not super extensive. It's not very long. I thought, how could they possibly know anything about me from this? It's only like 10 or 15 questions. But they nailed it. They really got me. Everything that they sent me, I love. They've got different colognes, and I'm not even a cologne guy, but they've got options of work or play, and I love the smell of both. In fact, I've been to a couple of weddings recently, and I sat there for a long time with both in my suitcase thinking, okay. All right, game time. What's it going
to
be?
Do you remember we were going to the same wedding, and I wanted to coordinate with you which Hawthorne cologne you're going to wear.
Yes.
And I think my reason was so I don't wear the same one because that would be confusing. And you didn't question that. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. No, I'm on the same team. You don't want the other people there to be smelling the same. Like, it's not. It's like wearing the same outfit.
Yeah.
Having the same scent. I don't want people thinking, oh, okay. Do you live in the same house? Why do you guys smell the same? I love wearing the colognes. I love that Daniel asked me so that I could wear work and he could wear play.
Yeah.
And I think that it really informed who we were at the wedding. And what they do after you take the quiz is that they will give you the option of sending you this essentials bundle. And that's got all kinds of, it's got shampoo, it's got conditioner, it's got body soap, it's got the colognes, it's got everything that you could possibly need to get your daily skincare routine and hair care routine off the ground. And you can choose from that what you actually want. If you're not the type of person who uses lotion on your hands every day, you can just drop the lotion out of your essentials bundle. Hawthorne's grooming products are my answer to looking good, feeling good, and smelling good. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and using promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co. Promo code QQ for 10% off your first purchase.
You know what I loved about hiking that that I think might have been slightly tainted this time around? I'll tell you. One of the great things about hiking, and this is another community club click type thing, is almost everyone you meet is a great person. And I'm painting with a broad brush there, but like, you already know that they're your kind of people. If you're the kind of person who's going to get up early and hike and camp and like do this strenuous, difficult thing that connects you to nature, you're going to meet like-minded people. You're not seeing someone, you're not going, showing up to the beach and there's someone with jeans and sneakers on the beach or anything like that. These are all people who are committed to the same like silly natural values as you. And I like the opportunity to spend a few days knowing I will not be hassled or made to feel self-conscious by mean youths. It's like one of the only places I feel like in the world, in my entire life, where I won't have my day just wrecked by a 16-year-old saying something very mean but very true about
me. Go ahead.
Well, there's one I've been thinking about, one interaction this whole time, because you meet plenty of great people on the trail and you cross paths with a lot of the same folks over and over again. You see people at the campsite and it's great, and you form many tiny friendships. And then there was this one group of youths on our second day. They were all together. It seemed like they couldn't have done this on a lark because they were in any direction 10 miles from a trailhead, but they still had larkish attitudes about them. And one of them said to me, Kanye released Donda. It's out now. It came out today. And I was like, finally, he's been working on it. And then the kid goes, finally, he's been working on it. And then they go their separate ways. And, you know, 10 minutes goes by. And then my brother's like, you think he was making fun of you? I'm like, I think so. I don't know how. Sometimes just like when you're young and invulnerable, sometimes just like getting someone to talk is a way that you're outsmarting them.
Yeah, I made that motherfucker interact with me. What an idiot.
Yeah, there was no right answer for me. I couldn't have been like, I don't know what Donda is.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Right.
Or I could have done what I did, which was, oh yeah, it's his album. He's been working on it for a while and he keeps delaying it. I'm culturally relevant. I'm aware of the things you're aware of, but neither answer was good. I still felt embarrassed.
Yeah. I mean, you could fuck up a kid like that just being like, okay, cool, and then keep walking, and that kid then will be like, oh, fuck.
I don't think I could.
You think the kid was going to fight you?
I think that kid would be fine no matter what I said.
I don't mean to blow up your spot here, Dan, but the types of people that you're meeting out on the trail, they're like-minded. They make you feel good about yourself. You feel safe and comfortable with them. Just like predominantly, what color would you say these people are?
So, up where we traveled, which incidentally was called the White Mountains. I don't think anyone is taking diversity initiative seriously up there, Soren.
It's not your fault. That's is what you're saying. It's that yeah. It's New Hampshire's fault. Mm-hmm. Okay. And like body type, what would you say these people are? Anybody who might be, say, it's more heavy set?
It's a fit group.
Okay.
Wait. here's what happened today. Soren woke up fine, and then he learned that I run with my phone, and he's never stopped being mad at me. And now he's trying to trap me into being a body shaming racist. When I'm talking about finding community with Footloose and Destiny on the Mountain.
I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair because you're absolutely right that there are people who are like more, the people who use trails are more environmentally conscious. There is a clear community out there of people who find each other who are like, yes, you are interested in the mountains. You appreciate nature in the same way that I do. It's just an unfortunate circumstance that you also,
yeah,
that every single one of them is white.
Yeah. I don't love that my one main gripe that I've spoken out loud about this hike is someone telling me about a new
hip-hop
rap album.
I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, or act, or be better? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. I've tried meditation before and it didn't work. I couldn't quite get the hang of it. I'm sure you have too. Or maybe you didn't feel like you were doing it right. If mental health is part of your self-care plan this year, and it should be, you owe it to yourself to try Headspace. If people keep telling you to try meditation and you're like, when would I have time? You should check out Headspace. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you, here you go. You deserve to feel better than you do today. And you can with Headspace. They make meditation simple. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? I do. Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. I love Headspace. I can't be the only one who's stressed right now. Fill in the blank whenever this episode comes out with whatever horrible thing is happening currently outside your own window. So I get stressed, and this app helps that. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/quickquestion. That's headspace.com/quickquestion for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/quickquestion today.
Why don't we move on? I'm going to ask you a question, Daniel.
Great.
Quick question.
Yeah. Give me some more rope.
Did you have an obsession when you were a child that, looking back on it now, you can't believe that your parents sanctioned, or even that they sometimes subsidized, like that they helped you buy things to keep this obsession
Soren,
going?
Soren, yes, white people. Figure out how to spin that one into a trap.
I will say that my son, I'm asking this because my son, I can't remember if we talked about it. He really likes traffic cones to a degree that we had to make rules about the traffic cones we have around the house. Oh, do you want to take a guess at how many traffic cones I have or my son has? These are real traffic cones that you would use that like the city uses.
Yeah. Three?
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh,
we
man.
Have 10, and I have another one in my attic that I haven't given him yet. That I've slowly been giving him.
What does he do with them?
Great question.
I said three because three is the amount you need for most games.
Yeah, no. This is
he sets up sites.
What do I mean by that? What am I talking about?
He does, he sets up construction sites a lot. The construction is like ancillary. The construction almost never happens, honestly. It's really about setting it up. And he likes to put them in places where you are allowed to go and places you're not allowed to go. And if you violate that, it's a big deal. We're like, this is a construction zone. You're not allowed here. Well, or he calls them the cone zone because we saw that on a sign once on a road trip. They're like, you're entering the cone zone. And I was like, Ronan, wake up. We're entering the cone zone. He was like, the cone zone. So you're not allowed at the cone zone. And then also if I'm doing work out in the yard or when we had the tree put in, my son gets out there and sets up a perimeter. And he's like, puts on his vest, puts on his hard hat, and sets up a perimeter. And honestly, it's a big pain in the ass because that's a small perimeter always because he's got no sense of how much space you actually need. And so I'm just like walking into cones all the time trying to do my work. But loves the idea of them. And now we have indoor and outdoor cones because we won't let him take some of the cones inside because they're so dirty.
Okay.
But he...
In my stupid, limited imagination, I thought... Never did it occur to me that he would be using them to do cone stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, sure, one goes on your head and one for each arm. And then you're like, cone
one's
guy.
Your trumpet.
Yeah,
he loves cones. So the degree that, like, when we go to the airport, we see sometimes, for some reason, the airport, they have blue cones or green cones. And that's all he talks about on the way to the airport. When we go on hikes, we like stop in the parking lot. And if there's a cone there, it's going to take us a while to go on the hike because he's going to have to go see the cone. Look at it for a little bit, ask us over and over again, do you think this belongs to anyone? And I mean, I know what he's vying for. Mm-hmm. Out when we're just like on the way to school, if there's a construction site, God help us. Because he's going to be like, do you think they need all of those cones?
Where do you acquire cones? I remember in college stealing them.
Yeah. We get them from Amazon.
A unique college experience that apparently everyone does.
I can't give him cones that we would steal out on the street because guaranteed those have like tar and stuff on them because they've been used properly.
Yeah.
So we buy brand new cones. I don't think they're particularly good for you in general because that type of heavy duty plastic can't be a healthy thing. I think they might even have little warnings on them. But he's got his specific types and he knows the difference. So if he asks for new cones, I'm like, you already have a lot of cones. He's like, yes, but I don't have any with the black base with two reflectors. He also knows the difference in like the diameter of it. So he likes the skinnier ones because they're easier for him to pick up, but he wants them to be tall. And then we saw barriers once, those big white folding barriers.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, Dad, do you think for when Christmas comes, I could get one of these? And that doesn't mean just one. I mean, that means he wants to start with one. And I'm like, no, sure. I have to draw the line somewhere. We have cones everywhere. And so he's very obsessed with it. We had to make rules about how he couldn't have them in his room because he was trying to sleep with them for a while. And a cone could go outside his door, but he wasn't allowed to have it in his room. And when we were working on school, he wasn't allowed to have one in his hands. So
that is so fascinating.
It's an obsession. And then as I was like trying to decide if that was healthy or not, I was remembering my own childhood and thinking, oh no, I had some weird stuff. And then looking back on it, I was like, why did my parents allow me to have that weird stuff? Because I had two, basically. I had one was collecting blown glass miniatures.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not even... Like, there's only two shops you could get it in the entire Aspen Valley. There was one in Glenwood Springs and one in Aspen. And I would go in there. I would peruse their glass cases and just look at the little figurines. And I started off with pewter. I thought, yeah, pewter's where it's at. And then I got very into blown glass because I found a blown glass pig that lit up really well when you displayed it. And
just as a quick sidebar, yeah. I cannot believe that I am this week's podcast white supremacist. This is unbelievable to me.
Because I buy a lot of blown glass figurines in Aspen? That's every culture does that, Dan. That's everybody. That was a weird one. There's no way I was buying those with my own money either.
Because those are expensive. So I think I was like finding stuff. I was finding like, I'd go and tell my mom, there's a wizard in that shop that I really need. And she'd be like, okay, all right, do you really need it? And I would have been like, yeah, I think it would really round out my collection. And then we would go get it. And I had a little display case with a light in it.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Like you don't play with these. The pig doesn't fight the wizard.
It doesn't. No, these are just for display.
No one wears the cones on their heads. You just place them.
Yeah, you just look at them. Okay. I would take them out every once in a while and kind of like really examine them, look them over, especially if there were different colors within it. That was very exciting. And then I would clean them off so they didn't have fingerprints and delicately put them back in their case for tomorrow.
What happened to them?
Fuck. You know what? I don't know.
Ooh.
They might be in a bin at home somewhere.
And that you never, that itch never showed up for you again? I don't
know.
I remember sharing an office with you and you didn't have like a bunch of shit all over your desk or anything.
No, but I, you know what it might have been? I will occasionally find my rocks and look at them and then put them back.
Right, of course.
So the rocks that I keep wherever I work.
Yeah.
That I hide places. I will occasionally take those out and look at them because they're good ones.
Okay. Right, of course. The rocks are good. That's why you picked them. It would be weird if you found like normal rocks and were hiding them in elevators. That would be nuts.
Could you imagine seeing the elevator repairman who finds a bunch of bullshit rocks? You'd think it was an animal or something.
What are these pedestrian rocks doing in my elevator?
Some sort of creature has put these here. Instead of the nice surprise, which it must be for him when he finds the really great rocks. So there's one other one that I want to tell you about before I let you answer this question. Well, that was a little bit darker, and it was my brother and I. I think he might have been the one who instigated this. But did you know what muscle men were?
Muscle men?
Yeah. You do.
I think I do, but...
They're a toy. They're like a little plastic toy that are flesh-colored for the most part. And
speak on that.
Oh, damn it. They are peach in color. Uh-huh. And they're like, they're all different fighters. They're designed, I think the original ones were designed to look like luchadores, but then since that they quickly evolved into all kinds of crazy ass Mortal Kombat type characters. And they're wrestlers. They're designed to just look like wrestlers. I think all of them are wearing little spandex wrestling underwear. Now, my brother told me when we were kids that what you were supposed to do with them was get blood on them, so that they looked more realistic. Already a weird thing.
Yeah.
But we would do that. Every time that we would get a cut or a scrape, we would immediately go get our muscle men and wipe it all over our muscle men so that they were covered in blood. And I can even remember having a new muscle man and thinking, I gotta get these guys broken in. Like, I gotta christen these guys, and being like, do I have any scabs that I could open and put it on my muscle men? And I think we were allowed to do that. My parents must have been aware of these toys because we'd leave our shit everywhere all around the house because we were, you know, kids who constantly have your parents telling you to clean up. And they must have seen that there was blood on these toys and just were like, whatever, that's fine. I can't imagine that was, and like our friends would play with them too, so that's not safe.
No. Hey man, that's pretty weird. I think it's weird that you did that. I think it's, have you talked to your brother about it?
No, I should. Yeah,
like I'm curious where the, we need to get blood on them so they look more realistic.
It's gonna really fuck me up if he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's him. It might have been one of our neighbors, but we had some bad neighbors. But I think that it was, I'm pretty sure it was him. And yeah, it was, you get a little bit of blood on your muscle men. It wouldn't always last super long either because they're plastic and your blood flakes over time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like, it was important that our muscle men had blood on them.
Fascinating.
Real human blood.
Yeah, I don't like that. I had, this is, I guess, wrestling figure adjacent. or Muscleman adjacent. So I used to have wrestling action figures that I liked a whole lot because I was into wrestling. And then I found very early internet days forums where people were making custom wrestling figures based on wrestlers that didn't have action figures yet. And they were just like explaining step by step how they did it, which brought me to going to the hobby shop and getting molding clay and different paints so I could, you know, they didn't have a Jeff Hardy action figure, so I took an old Triple H action figure and made Jeff Hardy with painting and this special type of clay that you put in the oven and then it hardens and becomes basically like plastic. And so I would use that for like different pants depending on the character or like facial hair. You would sand off the original face and build up a new face with the molding clay. And I did it for probably a year or so, just making different wrestling figures with my buddy Chris making wrestling figures, just like two seventh graders silently sitting in a kitchen, delicately painting the right kind of camouflage for Bubba Ray Dudley's pants.
No music.
No.
Just the sound of a clock ticking.
Yeah.
On
just
the wall.
A mom who's nervous but doesn't know why yet. It doesn't seem like we're doing anything wrong. But she doesn't want us to do it.
Yeah, of course.
So I did that, and then I transferred from making wrestling figures to making just like people. I would like I repainted a bunch of action figures to match the members of my older brother's band.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, look at this thing that I did. It's you. And they were like, that's interesting. You're too old for whatever this phase is. Goodbye. And then I graduated from that. I took figures out of the equation entirely and just made little people out of clay and would film little movies with them. And the people, I need to be clear about this, were real life people. People in my school. I made my teachers and all of my friends out of clay and a bunch of people that weren't my friends but I thought would make sense for the larger like milieu that I was assembling.
Yeah. Oh God. That's super uncomfortable. Did anyone ever find out from your school what you were doing?
No.
Yeah. So you knew you shouldn't let anyone know.
I guess some deep part of me was like, let's just keep this between us.
Okay. I also anticipate that these are pretty good. You're generally good at arts and crafts.
Yeah. Thank you.
If somebody saw theirs, they would be like, I think that's me. I think
yes.
He made me. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone walked in my room and saw I had an entire shelf that was just Beer Street Middle School posing on a shelf, just like existing together, wearing stuff that they have worn in real life. If anyone walked in and saw that, they'd be like, hey, is that fucking me? Don't do that. Destroy that.
I guess you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but did they just sit on the shelf or did you do things with these?
I did things with them.
Oh, God.
Not weird things. Well,
yeah, but I mean, you played
what's
school.
The bar for weird?
Did you play school?
I played school, but what was dumber than that is I would make movies with them. I had a habit of making clay and like action figure movies alone in my room.
Stop action?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I would, none of these are saved, not out of like shame or embarrassment, but I had one tape and I just taped over it like every night, made a new little show by myself.
Oh, wait, okay. So you're making these all the time.
I'm making them all the time. I'm watching them and then I'm making another one the next day usually. And one of the things that I did frequently was make basically just like rip off Saturday Night Live sketches, including Weekend Update, and just like do them, but with my friends as the cast. And so if you want to like just follow the extra steps of how stupid this is, I could have made Will Ferrell. I didn't. I made my buddy Matt out of clay, and then I gave Matt a Will Ferrell wig. Because in this universe, Matt is the star. Saturday Night Live.
I mean, there's even a step removed that you're not even thinking about, which is just get Matt to do a sketch with you. Where, like, you're both just doing Saturday Night Live. You're just copying Weekend Update together.
No. It's Matt out of clay, and I'm doing his voice, doing an impression of Will Ferrell as Harry Carey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But it's so weird. And it's so uncomfortable for poor Matt.
Yeah.
If that tape ever showed up. And so your parents are aware you're doing this the entire time.
Yes.
You should talk to them about that. Find out what was going on in their minds. Like, if they were ever worried, or if they're just like, nah, kids do weird things.
Yeah, I wonder if they had, like, an age where they would have to drop the hammer. Because a lot of my weirdest impulses and quirks, either I aged out of them, I was shamed out of them, or I just got more comfortable with them, and I'm still just a weird little guy. But I wonder if they were, if they sat up at night being like, 15. If he's still doing this when he's 15, we have to make a rule about clay in the house. And he's not going to like that, but 15 is going to be the age.
Did they sit up on a shelf, or did you keep them like hidden away?
They were on a shelf, man.
So people, I mean, you got to have friends that come over to your house. You just hide them when they come over?
No. I probably should have been more discreet and more embarrassed, but I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know at that age.
Yeah.
You think it doesn't seem that far away now as you're an adult, like 14, 13, 14, doesn't seem that far away, but it really is. The stuff that you're doing as a 13 or 14 year old, you do not know how the world works yet, and you don't know what's acceptable and what's not. So that's fine. I'm willing to allow some grace to a 13 or 14 year old.
And I think even less than being appropriately embarrassed about it, I would guess that I was probably pretty proud that if I thought a girl would come over and be like, "Is that me? Thank you."
Oh yeah. Just,
you made me so pretty. I'm like, yeah, I stare at you all the time. That's part of this too, I guess.
Yeah, you really captured me. Well, I look at you a lot. I'm very smart, so in classes I don't really need to pay attention. And I find that my mind wanders to you.
Yeah, that sounds like 14-year-old Daniel's dialogue.
But like on the clarinet.
Yeah.
You just start playing. Well, at first, I imagine you saying all this while wetting a reed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Fuck, Dan. So,
you have rules about the cones. Do you have an age where he can't have cones anymore?
No, I hadn't even thought about that. I assume that this is just something that he will grow out of. But I hadn't even considered the fact that at some point cones wouldn't be okay, but like his friends come over and they are not interested in the least about cones.
That's surprising.
Where he'll be like, do you want to see my cones, or do you want to play cones? And they're like, no. Or they'll try for a little while because they're like, oh, a kid is suggesting a game I've never heard, and then they start doing it and the kid is just like, what? What's this over here? You got trucks.
Yeah, just very patient, polite kids that are like, so Ronan, these cones are spectacular, but we heard you had a bouncy castle. Is that in play at all?
They are really patient kids. I say that my son is excellent at making friends so far at his schools, and I'm really excited about that. He's just started kindergarten, and he's already got some friends. He's got like a crew. It's him and it's three of them. It's this girl who lives down the street from us and this other boy. And just meeting them, I'm like, yes, like these are good kids. These are kids that are, they're a little bit more reserved. They're a little bit quiet. They're respectful. Like they understand their bodies and their space. And their intent is not to just destroy everything they see, which is a very natural kid reaction. That's what I was like when I was a child. It was like, oh, does this break? It does. And they don't have that in them. And those are the people that he picks out as friends. And I'm like, this is good. This is a good thing that will serve you the rest of your life.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you're out there like, let's get some blood on these cones.
Let's christen these babies. Rona, where do you want to bleed from today?
Yeah, I think he's choosing good kids. They don't get the cone thing. You know what else it is? It's signs too. But you know, mostly construction-ish signs, like signs mm-hmm. where you're like, you can be here, you can't be here. There's like a don't enter kind of stuff. He's not as interested in handicap parking or like that kind of stuff, but he does like signs a lot as long as they're instructing you on where you're not allowed to go. It's a control thing, I'm thinking.
That seems like a healthy impulse.
Yeah, but he wants to be in the driver's seat, right? He wants to be in sure. control of where you're allowed to go and where you're not. And he's allowed to move freely between all these spaces, but not everybody is. I wonder if this is just like a cousin of having a fort. And it's a fort yeah. where there's rules. I create the rules. No one else is allowed. Hard to say. But I'm not worried about it. It's just something that it's ended in tears before where we're like, you can't have a cone in your room while you're going to sleep because it's distracting and you won't go to bed. And it's just like really distraught about that kind of thing. And then we started to worry a little. But what, since we've dedicated rules to it, it's been a lot better.
Is his sister into cones at all?
No, she couldn't care less. I'm trying to think of when he actually got into them. I think I bought him some sports cones. We saw some at Target one day when he was probably 3. And he was like, that's it. That's the thing I love. And from there, it graduated into real construction cones. But no, she's not interested at all. She doesn't have any weird things yet, but she's also real young.
You know what's crazy to me? A part of me that's still attached to like a child's brain is that in this conversation, I looked on Amazon to see if people were selling cones, because I'm sure they are, and I wanted to see like, is this a market? Do people know kids like cones? And I'm going to target their parents or whatever. But the child impulse in me is, I think, the same as Ronan's, where I'm looking at these cones and like, no, these aren't right. It needs to be the construction style cones. Like, I see these these fucking Hallmark bullshit Target cones. I'm like, no, that doesn't count. The orange is wrong, and they need to be that like that hard, probably bad for the environment kind of rubber.
Yes, and they've got to be big. I mean, there's a lot of little ones that are just like, why even bother to sell these little, like the ones that you would expect to see somebody had a flat tire that they might have in their trunk.
Yeah,
those are no good. Those are crap.
Absolutely not. No, I understand that.
But the tip of it, the very top, is very important to him. What it does at the top, what the base looks like, and then whether it has 2 reflectors or 1 on it is very important.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Next time I'm out in LA, I'm going to get him a bunch of cones. You can't stop me.
Honestly, he would go nuts for that. He would love that. Or a barrier. Oh boy. You'd be his best friend if you got him a barrier. And I would hate it because I wouldn't know where to put it.
Well, what do we think?
I think that's the end of our show.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say about hiking.
That's a nice long show.
Yeah. All right. Then I'm just going to track down all of our social accounts. No, okay. We don't do that anymore. Jesus Christ. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD. You can find me, DOB_INC. You can email the show at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com or find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_SorenandDan. You can find and hire our engineer, producer, editor, Gabe at gabeharder.com. It's been a while since I checked. Here we go. My connection is not secure. What the fuck is happening with your website, Gabe?
All right, bye.
Bye.